Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
My darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and I am without my co-host, Tara Kittrick, tonight. Although I'm sure she's doing well, being abducted or whatever it is she's up to. I know what she's up to, but it's her story to tell. So I'll be delivering you the news this evening. First up in the news, was a space alien killed in New Jersey in the 1970s? MSN.com reports that a new book from a retired Air Force major claims that an extraterrestrial was once shot and killed at New Jersey's McGuire Air Force Base back in the late 1970s. George Filer is the subject of a new book authored by John Guerrera titled Strange Craft, The True Story of an Air Force Intelligence Officer's Life with UFOs. The book chronicles Filer's years spent tracking and reporting UFOs for the military in his role as an intelligence officer. Filer says that the alien was killed one night back in February of 1978. Filer is reported as saying, "I called the wing command post and they confirmed it. I called the security police command post, they confirmed it. The medical team was out there to see if they could save the life of the alien, but he apparently was, you know, actually dead." Filer now oversees the New Jersey chapter of the mutual UFO network MUFON. MUFON says that New Jersey has reported 1,923 UFO reports since the 1990s. Is the Navy withholding data on UFO sightings? A congressman says he is. From Politico, a top Republican in the House Homeland Security Committee is accusing the Navy of withholding information about reports of unidentified aircraft after officially requesting more data on the mysterious encounters. Representative Mark Walker of North Carolina, the ranking member of the Intelligence and Counterterrorism Subcommittee, asked Secretary Richard V. Spencer in July to outline what resources the Navy is dedicating to investigating the sightings. He also asked if officials have found physical evidence to substantiate the claims and whether they are aware of any foreign nations or private companies that have introduced breakthrough technologies that could explain them. Walker said he is discouraged by the Navy's seeming unwillingness to provide his committee with more data about the so-called unidentified aerial phenomena. The term the Pentagon prefers over the more traditional unidentified flying objects or UFOs. He has expressed concern publicly that the craft could pose a threat to U.S. forces or territory. Walker told Politico in a statement, "While I am encouraged the Undersecretary of the Navy confirmed that the UAP encounters are fully investigated, there is frustration with the lack of answers to specific questions about the threat that superior aircraft flying in the United States airspace may pose." Also, the Dead Sea Scrolls study raises new questions over the text's origins. Reported from TheGuardian.com, the Dead Sea Scrolls have given up fresh secrets, with researchers saying they have identified a previously unknown technique used to prepare one of the most remarkable scrolls of the collection. Scientists say the study poses a puzzle, as the salts on the writing layer of the Temple Scroll are not common to the Dead Sea region. Assistant Professor Admir Mazik, co-author of the research, stated, "These salts are not typical for anything we know about associated with the period and the parchment making. Found in the middle of the 20th century, but dating back to between the 3rd century BC and the 1st century AD, the Dead Sea Scrolls are made up of copies of writings that form parts of the Hebrew Bible, hymns, and writings about religious texts and practices. Some sections are mere fragments, while others are intact scrolls. Most of the writings are on parchment sheets, some of which have been tanned in Eastern practice, while some are untanned or lightly tanned to Western practice. The Temple Scroll, however, which is more than 8 meters long and written on parchment sheets whitened through a treatment with a salt called alum, has a number of unusual features. It's wafer thin. Experts have suggested it might have been made from an animal skin that's been split in two. And unlike most scrolls, the text is on the flesh side of the skin. Even more surprisingly, the text is written on a thick mineral-containing layer that forms a writing surface on top of the collagen. Dr. Kip Davis from the Dead Sea Scrolls Institute at Trinity Western University in Canada states, "This is an important study that reveals a number of things which promise to continue to be helpful in the study of ancient Jewish scribal culture, but moreover also in our efforts to develop more robust and reliable techniques for evaluating authenticity and forgery in ancient manuscripts." And then finally, we're going to talk a little bit about a Gallup poll for UFO sightings. You know, I saw this poll and I thought that it was remarkably consistent with the divide that Americans seem to be going through. You know, not a lot of us out there seem to be agreeing on a lot of things. One thing we can seem to agree on is statistics about UFOs. So U.S. adults think some sort of UFO or alien spacecraft. 33% of U.S. adults and 16% of them personally have seen a UFO. Of men and women that think UFOs are alien spacecrafts, 34% of men and 33% of women. So we're right in there and agreeing, and personally seeing a UFO, they're both at 16% as well. So we're right in there. As far as age demographics that believe that UFOs are alien spacecrafts, or at least some of them, 18 to 29-year-olds, that's 39%. 30 to 49-year-olds, that's me, that's 32%. 50 to 64, 34%. And 65 and plus, we're going down to 29. But the ones that have personally seen a UFO stay pretty convincing. 18 to 29, 16%. 30 to 49, 17% have claimed to see UFOs. 15 to 64, 16% claim to have seen them. 65 and over, 13%. So this is pretty consistent across the board. It's also consistent east, midwest, south, and west, 32, 27, 32, and 41, respectively. College graduates are 27% believe that UFOs are alien, while not college graduates at 37%. Maybe that's where one of our larger divides is coming in. But when it comes to money, we're looking right down the middle, 100,000 plus a year, 33%. 40 to 100,000, 34%, and less than 40,000, 37%. So we're right in there, regardless of your degree. And then finally, Protestant, other Christian, 31% believe that they might be alien. Catholics, 32%. Non-religious, 40%. So, you know, at least there's one area that we can all agree on. All right, when we come back, we have our guest Samuel Hoffman, and we'll be talking about Nibiru and whether or not it's right outside our front gates. You are listening to Radio Wasteland, so come on back.
Can I put in something like, this is American music, take one. One, two, three, four. Do you like American music? I like American music. Don't you like American music?
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
We're Billy and Patrick. For our friends at Reading Kia, we've got some great news.
The Kia Summer Clearance event is going on right now with exciting deals on every vehicle in Kia's award-winning lineup.
And the awards just keep on coming.
Kia has just been named the highest-ranked mass-market brand in initial quality 5 years in a row. Highest-ranked 5 years in a row.
And right now is a great time to celebrate this achievement with the Kia Summer Clearance event.
You'll find great savings on every new 2019 and 2020 Kia.
Like the 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento, the 2019 Kia Niro Hybrid.
I have one and I love it.
And the 2020 all-wheel drive Kia Sportage.
Every model in Kia's inventory is priced to go.
Check ReddingKia.com for all the details that make a great deal at Redding Kia on Cypress Avenue in Redding.
Billy is the marketing manager at Redding Kia. For J.D. Power 2019 award information, go to jdpower.com/awards for more details.
Redding Kia Summer Clearance ends September 30th, 2019. ReddingKia.com.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Samuel Hoffman, our returning guest, Samuel Hoffman. Samuel, do we have you there with us?
Yes, you do. It's really good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you. How have you been here as of recent?
Oh, God, we've been so busy. It's just been unbelievable. You know, there's been all kinds of really cool sightings going on, and, I mean, it's gotten so busy above us, it's actually very difficult to even identify what's we've been staring at for 10 years. They're so thick above us right now. It's just unbelievable. And everybody's just eating it up, and it's all coming into fruition, and it's all matching, and it's wonderful. You know, being correct is just fantastic. And
I wouldn't
know. We finished our 10-year study now. It's been 10 years we've been proving this now. So, and, you know, these are all sightings that are all legitimate, and time after time they match and they match and they match. And you should see what's coming in from Europe this week, but I'll let you talk for a second.
Yeah, well, why don't we remind our listeners what it is that we're talking about here. We're talking about Nibiru, and we're talking about that, well, why don't you explain what Nibiru is and what its relationship to Earth is to give our listeners a reminder course.
Okay, we live in a solar system with what currently we're listing as 8 planets, now that Pluto is no longer attached to the theory, but, you know, smaller stones, smaller than Earth size. Our sun, and then we also have a binary secondary sun and its sister eight planets that are cohabiting, co-orbiting, always have, always will, and they return every 3,654 years approximately, give or take, you know, 50 years or so. And if you go back to the Mycenaean period and the beginning of the Bronze Age, that's when the last passing of the planet was. And this is where we saw climate change. We saw climate migration due to the loss of crops, et cetera, et cetera. All throughout the end of the Egyptian dynasty, the changing of the northern part of Africa, et cetera, and global climate change. And, of course, tectonic breakup, et cetera, et cetera. Now, these planets return. We are not orbiting together as a group, but as in separate groups, yet they're attached to our own suns. But currently, the two suns are they're like thread attached to each other. And we've had some really interesting sightings of something strange happening to the sun today. And as a matter of fact, about 3 hours ago, there was an asteroid blast above the coast of Africa, and it was listed as a 9-point earthquake. But the depth was zero, and followed by another 5.3, and that was listed as 130 kilometers plus. So there's all kinds of really cool stuff going on. And of course, this is the asteroid groups that orbit underneath the passing planets, and they are so close to us, and they pass so close that sometimes they buffer into our atmosphere. Now, what people need to understand is that the planets do not collide. We're not in a gravity well like Einstein assumed. I mean, we can go on about that some other time, but we live in an electrical universe. The planets, they come close, they discharge off each other, push each other away. Just the same reason that my fingertip will not mix with a countertop or with the wall, because there's a little micro lightning electrical storm between my matter and the matter of the countertop or the wall that pushes each other away. We cannot mix our stuff, and that's how our solar system works as well. And the planets have been visible, if you knew what you were looking for anyone that started looking around 2010, and they were close, and they were very large, and we weren't looking for these tiny little dots, and that's what threw everybody for the longest time. They were staring for planets the size of Saturn and Mars and Venus and these tiny little dots in the sky, and these things are coming so close to us, and I mean, it's still to this day boggles my mind how this all works, but we've had so many sightings over the years, it's absolutely undeniable. Attu, the purple planet, and its white moon always come up the same. They always have the same facial markings. The massive gas giant Uri always has the same facial markings, the same base cloud with asteroids underneath. Nepesity's bottom, I watched Nepesity go by us in the south here last week, and it was this huge, massive, standard run-of-the-mill Nepesity base cloud. So we've seen these over the last 10 years, and we've documented them for so long that we actually have learned how they all individually look. And time after time after time, these pictures come in from around the world, from Europe, from Australia, from Ireland, from Scotland. I've got a couple of great people in Hungary. I've got people in Japan, Malaysia. You name it, we've got people. I mean, we even had some Russians, and of course those folks aren't talking to us very often. We've got some new members from China. So all of this information is being documented, and we're not guessing about this. We only call something when we've had 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 examples of this. And this also leads me to, for the last 4 weeks over Europe, now anyone who's been like listening to our last show, they've been documenting the sightings of the Texas Cube, and you can look that up on YouTube. It's called the Texas Cube because it was first originally sighted over Texas and documented on YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we've been sighting the Texas Cube every day for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and they're not hiding anymore. And that really inclines me to believe that something really important is up. We've also seen star destroyers just like the ones in the movie Star Wars, and I am not kidding you, by eye sightings and numerous pictures for over a month. And these are, you know, they're exact copies to the Star Wars movie. And we've had documented pictures coming in from around the world. So, folks, you really got to get on board with this because it's happening. It's real. 10 years we've been watching this. And they're here. And you were asking in the early beginning of the show, where is Nibiru? And it is coming literally past us every day. Isatim is the reason that the skies are as red as they are. Isatim has a yellow moon in front of it, and it is bright, and it's also yellowing the skies. Hopefully people out there are noticing that there's this really weird look to the sky with this odd, almost grayish milky, and it should be much brighter, but it doesn't look quite right. And that is because the larger planets that are close right over the top of Earth are blocking the light in what we refer to as a cutoff flare. And it changes the shape of the sun, and you'll see these little refractive side angles of the light cutoff. And it's making the skies look really kind of weirdish, yellow, gray, almost milky. And it's a cool effect. And if you can't see the planets from where you are, you can at least notice that the lighting is really wrong. And we've recently had a whole bunch of nighttime sightings where people were seeing the purple skies at night. And just recently, the NOAA announced that after the hurricane, the purple skies were what they technically called atmospheric scattering, which is completely meaningless in my book. But they're trying to lie about the fact that these purple skies, nobody's ever seen purple skies until after you got here, and it's a refractive color off of a very close passing planet. Same thing with when the skies are deep, deep, almost teal turquoise green, and that's when Nepesity is passing. Or if the skies go into this melt-out complete white, that's when Uri is passing. Now, recently, Attu's moon has been so very large and so very close to Earth that it literally fills the sky and illuminates. And some people have been wondering why the sun went down 2 hours ago, and yet they're in the northwest sky, it's still illuminated, and they don't know why. That's because there's refractive light coming off the bottoms of these planets as they go over us. There's so much particulate in the air with all the volcanoes and the chemtrails and all that stuff I don't want to mention, but there's and the fire, forest fires, and everything else, that people don't get an accurate view. But up here in Montana, we get a far better view because our air is thinner and we have far less of the particulate up here, and we get a better view because we're just closer to the sky. And it's been phenomenal. This is beyond reproach. We have thousands and thousands of pictures. They're here. And people really got to get this into mainstream because, only through shows like yours and sites like mine, Montana Sky Watcher 2 and 1 on Facebook, are we sticking to, we're sticking to empirical science here. We're doing all the things and, dotting our T's dotting our T's and crossing our I's. Yeah, anyway, you can tell who's had too much coffee today.
Right.
But we've documented this long enough that it's absolutely proven. And anybody who is doubting this right now is apparently not looking up and they're spending too much time watching the Kardashians.
Well, that would be just about anybody watching the Kardashians, in my opinion. But I got to tell you, we're coming up on break here, not too far off. But it is talk radio, so you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about you're saying that everybody needs to know and everybody needs to get on board. But there has to be reasons why we need to know and why we need to get on board. There's a lot of things maybe we don't need to know, so we're going to find out why this is one of those things that we need to know when we come back. You're listening to Samuel Hoffman here on Radio Wasteland, and don't miss out. Come on back.
Do you believe in a heaven with a touch? Do you believe in a heaven with a touch? purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, I'm Robin Fader, co-executive director of the Reading Fashion Alliance. We are hosting the 2019 Reading Fashion Week starting September 6th with a trunk show at Carousel Boutique. The fashion show gala featuring several local fashion designers and models is happening September 7th at the downtown Reading atrium. We are featuring a fashion lounge, DJ, drinks, and hors d'oeuvres. Support small businesses in Reading on Shop Local Night, September 12th from 4 to 8 p.m. We will wrap up Reading Fashion Week with an opening reception for the iconic fashion exhibit at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring designer fashion from the collection of Alita Carpenter on September 13th from 6 to 9 p.m. We have so many great events. Get tickets and more information at www.readingfashionalliance.org. We can't wait to see you at Reading Fashion Week, beginning September 6th.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Reading. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Reading.
Black Bear feels like home.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Samuel Hoffman. We're talking about Nibiru. Okay, so before we went to break, now don't get me wrong, we should live in a world where people want to be educated and people want to know things. But, you know, you're telling us that people need to get on board and they need to know. And, you know, that prompts the question, why?
Well, for one, they don't want us to know. For two, Every time this cycle occurs within known history, the Great Flood of China, the transition of the massive earthquakes and everything at the last cycle, the end of many numerous highly advanced cultures at the time, and the breakup of our planet, global climate change, global migration. We're seeing the effects of that right now, and if you look at, like, down south right now, they're having the continuation of summer and this massive heat wave. And a lot of people aren't being informed. Like, 1,500 people last month died in France from a heat wave. Numerous people died this year and last year in Japan from a massive heat wave. The second sun is putting out a great deal of changes. Now, it's not getting us with all of its power, but most of it's being masked by our sun. But, you know, when the separation reoccurs and we start to go our way and they go their way, there might be some drastic, noticeable, extreme changes beyond those that we're already experiencing. We're seeing massive earthquakes that are more numerous than ever before. We're seeing massive flooding and granted, the heating up of our atmosphere is causing a great deal of this, but they're attributing it to, you know, man's output of CO2, and I'm sure there's a great deal of that to do, but all the planets are heating up. All the planets tipped when the second sun got here in 2011. The axes of all the planets, like, because a big magnet came into and said, hello, and started yanking on our planets. And, of course, we had the massive tidal wave in 2007, and I believe that is when we first started getting what we refer to as threat attached, where the grab and pull of each other, where we started, you know, because they're like two opposite magnets pulling each other and they're doing this dance together. In most models, they only show one pass of Nibiru. But there's so far it's been like four cycles of the group spinning and rotating in front of us as we do our normal yearly thing. So during these changes and during, like, for instance, the passing of Attu's moon right now is so close to us and so massive, it is causing emotional trauma amongst people. It's causing tectonic plate movement. It's shifting up in electrical occurrences. And people, if they really would like to survive a possible coming event, I think they should plan. And if they expect that maybe they're just going to let, you know, God sort it out for them, well, then they don't have to necessarily listen to them. But if you'd like a handle up on, you know, maybe getting away from the coastal water regions a little faster than normal, because science doesn't necessarily know what they're talking about when they're attributing this to global warming and not taking it into account as solar system warming.
So this isn't undoing the concept of man-made climate change, or it's not supporting it and it's not unsupporting it. It's just its own separate thing that is causing a lot of our problems.
And our oceans are the worst suffering of this. You know, the oceans sequester every day some 300 million tons of carbon every day. And, you know, we're seeing, of course, life wash up on shore is dead. But then, of course, that good has to do with Fukushima and the 3 tons of radioactive waste they're dumping per day into our oceans directly, not counting the amount of atmospheric radiation that we're all receiving right now. People, you know, if you take these things into account, you can protect yourself a little bit better. You know, don't go out in a rainstorm. Pay attention to when these storms are coming in, because they're going to be much more violent. The passing of the asteroids between the planets, between Earth and the passing planets, are causing these massive electrical storms, and a lot of people have been seeing them. Yesterday or the day before, Seattle had some 200 lightning strikes beyond count in their records in just a matter of an hour or so. I don't remember the exact amount of time, but these storms are coming in, and they're quick. The passings are quick. The planet can go by us within a matter of an hour or so, and we have these freak weather events that are affiliated with this as well. And this is another reason that people prepare and they plan. And, you know, if they're informed, they have an opportunity to be calmer in the face of, you know, of disaster, and then maybe a level of understanding that they won't panic as much.
So the only real threat coming from this situation is an environmental one, a climate one, a weather one. There is nothing else for people to be concerned about?
Well, there is the presence of the Texas Cube, for instance. The Incans and the Mayans would refer to them as Quetzalcoatl, and they're back. And we've got direct evidence of that, because we've been filming them every day for the last month, every day, with complete, wonderful square captures, you know. And then, you know, and then we do comparatives, and if it, you know, what they're finding in Hungary, and they're also finding above London, is, you know, with a minor variation in angle in the picture shot, and they're both the Texas Cube, and you can see the facial markings and the side orb and the little other Star Destroyer ships alongside it. And when those two pictures match, you know it's real. They're here, and we've got lots of craft. And I'm not, you know, generally a person that goes, oh, UFOs, because for the longest times on Montana Skywatchers, we never even discussed it, because it wasn't, you know, it's this little tiny dot that we can't identify, or, gee, it's a plane that's doing this, or God, that's a bird. But these are actual physical 100% attributable sightings. Otherwise, we wouldn't even discuss it.
So what is the company? What's the implication of that? I mean, do we have any idea why they would be there?
Well, we know. Here I go. We know that we are the factory planet for the larger half of our solar system. There are, I am told that there are 2 to 3 races that live in that group of planets. We service them with commodities. Every 3,654 years, they come down to, when the planets are close, they pick up these commodities, which serve the higher races, and we distribute it to them willingly in an effort to get a level of control, as, you know, a little factional control here and there. And then we could go and discuss 9/11 and all that, but I'd rather not. The main commodity is gold, and we supply, Earth is the factory that supplies it. It's in their tech. It's what they use to prolong their life. There's a lot more to gold than people understand. It's one of the few compounds in the universe that actually illuminates on its own. Yes, it's bright and shiny, but it actually puts off its own light. And it doesn't decay. It does not rust. It does not decay. So we're servicing a larger race, and I truly believe that, you know, at some point in time, some of us should have the opportunity to elevate ourselves out of this slavery role.
Right. So, I mean, that's a lot for a lot of people to swallow, though. You have to understand.
I know, and I'm sorry about that, but I swear it's face-to-face truth. That's word one I got from the Pleiadian, and this was not channeling. This gentleman who was 7 foot tall with a really weird-looking head wearing white robes stood there for a couple hours and communicated with me and 3 of my friends, and we all stood there and listened to this story, and so, you know, and then he told me a bunch of stuff about my future life, which has come to pass. And so this is it's so correct and so factual, I cannot argue with it. And then here alone for the last 10 years, all of this has come true. And so I really can't argue with it and deny it. And I've had witnesses. Otherwise, I would think myself nuts if I hadn't had 3 friends right there with me.
Yeah, well,
I thought, okay, this is a dream. It's got to be.
Well, we got about a minute up until break here, but, you know, why you? Why do you think he chose to tell you?
Well, I wrote a paper in 1978, which got nixed by the U.S. government in 1980, and it was written on, called Our Binary Solar System. I knew we had to have 2 suns and 2 sets of planets because the chemistry didn't work out any other way. There was no way to deal with the aberrant behavior of Neptune and Uranus at the end of our orbit unless there was something large enough that was affiliated with us in order to do that. It's not some random dark planet in the middle of nowhere. And something had to fit. And I never was comfortable with Saturn and Jupiter being in the middle of our atomic structure when the heavier objects should seemingly be closer to the center, because that's how, you know, centrifugal mass and all of that would work. So I started searching, and you know, if you look at it, like the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, the visitor Klaatu, he got down, started talking to people, wanted to find out who he spoke to, and then he ended up in the long run speaking with a professor who had a chemistry equation that was very close to the truth, and basically they found out that this was me, and they spoke to me and said, okay, you know, you're going to do this, or you're intelligent enough to do this, and I guess the rest is history. Because, you know, I mean, why me, God? You know, I would love to know that, but other than the fact that I wrote this paper in 1978 through 1980, where, you know, they nixed it and classified it.
All right, well, we're coming up here on a hard break, Samuel. You're listening to Samuel Hoffman here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Carl's Jr. presents The Breakfast That Got Away.
It's been 5 years since our last morning together. I still remember your smell, your taste. I can't move on. My heart will wait as long as...
The wait is over! Carl's Jr.'s chorizo biscuit and burrito are back on the breakfast menu. Get spicy chorizo, egg, and pepper jack cheese on a made-from-scratch biscuit. Or all of that wrapped in a warm tortilla with crispy hash browns and fresh-made salsa. Get the chorizo biscuit and burrito today at Carl's Jr. Available for a limited time at participating locations.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated. Not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Redding. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Looking for a home loan? Omega Mortgage Group built its reputation on providing low rates and outstanding customer service. We've worked hard to lower our costs so we can pass those savings on to you. There's a reason so many real estate agents, escrow officers, and other industry professionals refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com and find out for yourself. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
Hello, Americans. You know what the news is. Now you're going to know the rest of the story. This is Paul Marvey for Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. A local family needed a new heating and cooling system, but they never found anyone better than Alliance. We learned long ago that it's the people that make our systems better. Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, 221-2642, or visit us online at homecomfort.org. And that's the rest of the story. Good day.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking to our guest, Samuel Hoffman. All right, so we've explained to people, I don't know if we've gotten the point across well enough to people as to what you're saying they are looking for. You know, we're telling them Nibiru is here, another solar system is here, we're seeing them out there. But, you know, to a person just listening to this show, I don't think they're really grasping what they're supposed to be looking for.
If you look up in the sky and you see a really, really dark blue area, and then you look, 15 degrees over to the left or right, and you see really light blue skies, and you're staring at one of the passing planets. They do have some encasement in clouds, bottom, what we call base clouds, and those base clouds are repetitive. They're always the same. That is, if you look up Understanding the Skies on YouTube, edition one by Samuel Hoffman, I give a listing of drawings and show you the base clouds of each one of these planets. Over the years, we've watched them enough that we understand their many different bases, from proximity and from distance, and then when they're directly over our heads. Notice that there is a quick weather pattern that comes in prior to a lot of these, especially when the asteroids are coming in underneath them. In a very close pass of that, too, there is the lead asteroid, and we've had pictures of that for the last 3 months coming straight across the horizon, and it's a sky filler. And it's this big, huge, round, clouded thing with front facial stripes that we see time and time and time again. And then there's also an illumination, a rainbow hue, where the debris fields, because light only refracts in space. You can't see light if it passes you by in dark space. It has to refract upon an object or a gas in order to break down into a prism effect, where the human eye will see in a rainbow effect, or one of the spectrums in which we see. So what they're looking for is a dark spot or a cutoff on the sun, or a very red, funky, weird blob object to the right of the sun currently, or something cutting off the top of the sun. And why is the sky completely dark above, and yet the sunset is light blue with a yellow twinge, when the rest of the sky above us is this dark, dark, almost black blue? That's a planet over the top of us. And they're so huge, they're sky fillers. People are not looking for small things. You're looking for something that you can hold your arms out as wide as you can imagine and say, from that angle up is a planet. And they're huge. And that's why most people are missing them right now, because they've been here for years, and they make quick passes. They're within an hour, 2 hours, and they rotate and change positions over time. Currently, we're heading toward Nibiru, and Isatim is heading towards us on the right-hand side of the sun. Come evening time, Nibiru is literally over our northwest upper part, just straight up. And then you'll start to see the red, and some people might soon start seeing the illuminated yellow moon of Isatim and its tail, and that will be within the next few months. And now, Uri and Attu and Attu's moon have gone past Earth and into the light, where we can actually start to see them facially, because before all we ever saw was their dark side with side-lit crescent illumination or half-lit crescent illumination from the side. And the angles were the only ones where we were getting the lighting, and that was literally 215 through 217 and early 18. And now that these planets are passing us again and very much closer, we're seeing the purple illumination at night. We're seeing the white illumination of Attu's moon at night. We're seeing the green illumination of Nepesity when she's in close pass over the top of us, along with her snorkel core, which everybody is attributing to as these massive tornadoes. But with Nepesity does a close pass, and it drops this snorkel, and it sucks up a whole bunch of atmosphere and water and all kinds of stuff. And as it pulls away, everything that's pulled up into its base cloud drops on us. And that's why we get, a year's worth of rain in 2 hours, is because these passing planets are pulling our atmosphere away and then dropping it back on us when their area of effect is lessening with each pass. And it's also affecting our brains and our bodies and our backs, and animals are nervous, and I could go on and on and on.
Well, I got a question for you. So I understand that, with the atmosphere and the colors and the size, that, there's 7 billion people on the planet, and they're not seeing a lot of this. But wouldn't the other star be undeniable? Wouldn't it just
when it first got here, it was absolutely. We watched it. We watched it coming in from most of our original sightings, where we spent a great deal of our time, was the Neumeier station. And we watched it come in 2010, and then it was this little thing that just kept showing up in all these pictures. And then it got bigger, and then it got bigger. And then in 2012, when Nibiru first went past Earth, along with its illuminated tool star, it has a facial blue, very bright, tiny little facial star, which is surrounding its orbit. And someday I hope to talk about that. But we watched the second sun come up from the southern horizon, and then around late 2011, it started showing up in North American and Brazilian and middle of the planet countries. And then in the northern hemisphere, it showed up in 2012, and we had absolute pictures where the two were joining, and everybody thought that the second sun was the smaller one. But ours is the smaller sun, because they were all thinking it was smaller or whatever, just extra. But the larger sun came in. We had numerous documented pictures of that, and we still have a few of those. And then when they joined, that was 2012, when the backblow CMEs were occurring. And we have numerous pictures of that where they're burping out these stellar masses to each other on thread connection, where they're electrically combining and joining and co-orbiting. And ever since then, the scientists have been wondering why we're at this solar minimum, which doesn't meet the 11-year cycle that it's supposed to do. And they're wondering why the output of the sun is not what it's supposed to be. And that's because all of major energy is being drawn back to the larger sun. So it's basically draining a lot of this energy back to it. And we haven't seen evidence of separation yet, but there seems to be some sort of sun-solar activity that's changing. So it could, you know, and people ask me, when's it going to leave? And we don't know that. We don't know the duration. We could be co-orbiting with them for 100 years. Now, if we look back in history, approximately 1750 BC through 1650 BC was a good portion of the dynamic extreme changes in the climate and tectonic plates and geological and mass migrations and the ends of civilizations. And so through this, we can assume that it's somewhere within a 100-year period of effect. But, I mean, of course, you know, these archaeological records aren't exact, so it could be a 50-year, it could be a 20-year, it could be a 10-year. We don't know for sure. But we do know, you know, there's the other groups of people who are talking about the shot across the bow, and that's the Barzin group with Ed Dames and all of these people. We do know that there are some effects coming. We also know that there's going to be several major asteroids that are slated to hit us from now to 2050. So there's a lot of stuff coming, and they're, of course, not explaining the details. And that's what we try to do, is give the information to people so that they can base their opinion on something sound, so that they can decide if they're going to leave, you know, move out of South Carolina into the mountains or in the middle of Colorado or whatever, that they've got a reason for it. Because we all know that the ocean levels are rising for sure. We know that there's a new ocean bulge has moved from the center of the Earth to towards more northern towards Florida, because they're saying that their ocean base rise is faster than the rest of the tables. And we know that the drawn-out tides, where all of a sudden this village that normally gets up and goes to their boats in the morning and they walk out and there's no ocean within a mile and they can't even see the ocean, we know that earth wobble is occurring. And we've had nothing but evidence and proof that this is all occurring. And people need to get on board with the truth if they want to know it. Now, if you want to hide your head in the sand, great, you know, and go back to, you know, paying your bills and doing your thing. But if you want to be informed and be awake and maybe, you know, further your bloodline down the path of the future, I would suggest buying a little extra rice and maybe a little tarp and some rope and planning for a long camping trip. Because
well,
that's what's happening.
We're coming up here on the end of the show, so this is a perfect time for you to tell our audience where they can get connected with you and follow this and possibly find out more.
Well, I am on Facebook. You can look up Montana Skywatcher 2 or Montana Skywatcher 1. That's a closed site, but I let most everyone in Montana Skywatcher 2 on Facebook. And, of course, if you want to see my materials, just type Samuel, S-A-M-U-E-L, Hoffman, H-O-F-M-A-N, only one F, not the German version, but the Dutch, you know, on YouTube, and you'll find most of my videos. A good portion of about 3 years worth of videos vanished, unfortunately, due to an argument with somebody who didn't believe in what we were doing, and they made our stuff go bye-bye. But that's the best way. Or you can get hold of me if you don't want to talk publicly. You can write me at P.O. Box 625 Lolo, that's spelled L-O-L-O, Montana, M-O-N-T-A-N-A, 59847. And you can throw donations my directions as well, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not harping for donations, but it sure helps.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. It's always fun. It's always nice to catch up with you. And you've been listening to Samuel Hoffman here on Radio Wasteland. Don't forget to check him out on Facebook at Montana Skywatchers 1 and 2. And, you know, hopefully we have you on the show again sometime in the near future.
And thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate this.
No problem. I enjoy it as well. You've been listening to Samuel Hoffman here on Radio Wasteland.
So happy my head. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.